This episode is a two-part episode. If you enjoyed part one, please come back next week, Wednesday morning, for part two.
Eventually, you're going to have to cowboy up and get out there and do it yourself and go learn and start putting this stuff to the test.
Right.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Jordan Good, third-generation owner of Foxcrest Farm and host of Beyond the Outpost Podcast. That's a badass name. Jordan, welcome to episode 72 of the American Grown Podcast.
Can I call you Big Dog Sully?
You can call me Big Dog Sully.
I call
Sully.
You Big Dog yeah, Sully. Let's go. When I found that, I'm like, here
Cheers
we go.
Cheers to that. Cheers to that, brother.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to. I got questions for you, too. And this is going to be awesome, man.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay, cool. So we're about the same age. I'll be 39 this month.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 32. Still young. Hell yeah.
And then you got a little Peaky Blinders Finn. Is that where Finn came from?
Dude, yes.
Yeah. I thought that on the way over here. Yeah. And then I saw the Thomas Shelby photo.
Oh, I love Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, because ColorTech here is a family business, right? Mm-hmm. My grandfather started. My dad's the owner. Grandfather's still around. He's 86.
He mobbed up.
What's that?
He mobbed up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Part of the Irish Mafia,
I saw
sure.
your dad up there. I'm like... This dude could be in the mob.
Over COVID, he had a mustache, and he looked like Commissioner Gordon from Batman. Yeah, oh, he rocked it. I don't know why he shaved it, but whatever. That's on him. And so, real quick side story on that. They call my dad the Silver Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm the Bald Eagle.
Nice.
Let's
That's
go.
Awesome.
Let's go. But, no. Finn, our youngest, our son, was born... 2 months ago. He's 2 months old.
Everything went good. Delivery.
Oh man, knock on wood. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. You know, because that's, you know, for the listeners and you know, if you have kids, obviously you've gone through it, right?
Oh yeah.
But like,
it's an adjustment.
It's an adjustment. Yeah, at home.
That's the second one.
Second one. Yeah, Parker, our daughter, and she's phenomenal. You know, she loves right now Frozen and Moana.
So, bro.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's coming for you. Are you? Do you have brothers and sisters?
So I do. I'm. Damn, you're really turning this on me. I like this.
I just love
normally
people.
I ask you the questions. You're the guest.
Oh, you'll get to me. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Yes. So I'm the oldest on my mom's side. You know, come from a divorced family, which 50% of America, roughly, or the world is divorced. But so I have two sisters on my mom's side. Shout out Rebecca and Emily. What up? And my brother on my dad's side is younger by 9 years, Aiden. Yeah. So shout out to Aiden. He's doing great things. But I'm the oldest.
That's cool. Do you think you'll be a, I guess, are you guys done?
Yeah. Well, my wife said two's in her contract.
Oh, really?
So, you know.
You know, the only way to secure that is you got to go get snipped, bro.
Yo, everybody's saying that, but I'm not. I don't know if it's
an experience.
Yeah. Wait, do you guys?
Oh, yeah. My son had his third week checkup, and I'm like, Doc, he's good? He's healthy? I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go in. And once you start talking about getting snipped, you realize almost every guy that you know is snipped. And I'm like, why aren't we talking about this more?
Really?
Like, it's okay.
Yeah. I'm not really for, you know, anybody really down there doing it. I know it's, from what I hear,
it's
painless.
Weird,
and everything. Yeah, it's weird, right.
It's awkward.
Exactly. And it's like... I don't know if it's like a religion thing or just like, hey, leave that go, you know? But I mean, that is the only way to make sure it doesn't
happen. I mean, there's other
happen,
ways to make sure it doesn't happen, but that's not in it. That's not in the cards.
No,
I'm a guy.
Yeah.
I want a healthy marriage.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. And that's, you know, I'm not for, you know, we just met, right? It's the first time we're meeting, and I feel like I know you for a long time, but I'm not one to put chemicals and things in my body that doesn't need to be there, you know? I'm big into not doing that.
It's important today, especially with, I mean, you have it with kids, the stuff they put in this stuff, like it really affects, I'm already doing the microphone thing. I'm leaning back, man.
You're good.
It really affects the development of who they are. And then also, it's like on one hand, you've got the government pushing their whole thing where it's like, you got to take this, give your kid this, do this, do this. And that's one aspect. But then there's a whole other aspect. If your kid's growing up in a home where the parents aren't getting along or it's a divided home, well, this kid's screwed on both fronts.
Right.
So it's like sometimes I think people don't just stop and process with their kids. Okay. Like, your kids are young, you know, and the golden years are coming, man. Like, when they're 3 and 4, it's like, you're the most important thing in the world. And yeah. you'll decide, like, all right, you're going to raise girls a lot different than you raise guys, boys.
Yeah.
And recently, so we have four children, 16, 15, 13, and 12, three girls and a boy. And my wife and I, we met when we were 16. We got married at 20 and started having kids right away. And man, like those early years, you're just like the best thing ever. But when they become teenagers, it's when you really need to be present. Like most guys that I talk to are like, oh man, I see them interacting with their kids. I'm like, dude, stay in that. Because the day's coming where that little girl is going to be looking to other guys for validation. And you got to set the bar high because there are some idiots out there right now.
Oh yeah, it's scary trying to think about.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, and some of the way that these kids don't even know how they were created or how precious they are or that they matter. And they just, you see it in Lebanon all the time, man. And it's just like, there's so many cool programs in Lebanon for kids to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think parents are just, you're up against the world, man. You're up against social media. You're up against all these false images of what it means to be successful and all this stuff. And it just, it breaks your heart when you see these kids kind of throwing the towel in on life at 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And you're like, bro.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Life didn't even start yet, man.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're just talking, you know, and you know, I'm 32, you're 39. It's like, we're still young. I think even in your 50s and, you know, 60s, I think you're still young. My grandfather's 86, and he's still sharp as a tack.
Isn't it crazy?
It is crazy. But you hit on something there, and like you mentioned, social media. I think it's a great tool for business, you know, and promote yourself. But yet at the same time, you know, between AI and these images, you can type.
You're good.
Right there.
We got her.
Yep, you got it. Yeah, you'll be a pro by the end of this.
I have to be. We're launching on the 27th of March, so I got a lot to figure out tonight.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot. But no, I mean, just like you're 100% correct. Whether it's a young boy or young girl, it's like AI, this false images of like, what is beauty? You know, what's beautiful? And
what's truth?
Right. Yeah, it's a good question.
What's the truth?
Yeah.
COVID was awesome for explaining to people. Now, boy, you put that out there and spell my name wrong so people can't look me up. But COVID, it was bad for people. But if you step back and you're like, what really was COVID? It was, I think now people are so sick and tired of being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just put it on the grand stage where it's like, dude, we're drinking the Kool-Aid. Republican, Democrat, they're all a joke.
Corrupt to a little
corrupt
bit.
Corrupt to a degree. Yeah. Just up in New York, they just slammed those 80 Democrats for stealing funding yesterday. They had some huge bust.
I miss that one. Yeah. It's crazy.
And people will go nuts. Mm-hmm. Trump train 2024 here. I've been on that train. And it's just a cycle. You get someone in there for 4 years who does everything that you want, and then you get somebody in there for 4 or 8 years that doesn't.
Yep.
And then we're going to be 80 being like, we spent our whole life worrying about this stuff, and at the end of the day,
arguing with each other when we should be working together, coming together
in
as a community.
Bro.
Knuckles, brother. Seriously.
That's Foxcrest Farm.
Let's go. Yeah. So, all right. We got to, jeez, bums. There's so much to talk about. So
we better get a bullet pointed list here.
Well, I kind of got that. Normally, sometimes I send this over, but I don't know about you, but
I'm glad you did.
I'm kind of good at procrastinating. So like,
you're a guy.
Yeah, I'm a guy.
Do you have ADD?
I might have something like that. I don't know.
It's all right. Follow the dopamine, man.
Yeah,
you get a lot done.
Exactly. When it's time to go, you go. So, you know, this list I just finished probably like 10 minutes before you walked in the door.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, to kind of talk about Foxcrest Farms, and again, I want to get information on you, Jordan, but here's how I found out about Foxcrest Farms.
I was interested how that happened.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you. Here we go. So last year you guys had, I believe
the Fall Festival.
The Fall Festival. Yep. So my wife, Courtney, and our friends, Megan and Dylan, brought the girls. We came out and we attended that festival.
What'd you think? Give me honest.
Honestly,
it was our first thing.
I thought it was phenomenal. I liked, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Hit me with it.
I liked the parking situation.
Oh, okay, because that was the most stressful thing.
I thought you had plenty of room.
Got plenty of acreage. Just start plowing down corn, baby. Go park in the cornfield.
Yeah, plenty of room. You know, what was it? $5 or $10 a car? You know, that didn't bother me because I think you could.
Can I explain that part? Because we got a lot of pushback on that.
Yeah, go for it.
So Old Anvil Days is a big thing. And I think they get like 10,000 people to Old Anvil Days. So where this is our first real event that we're putting out there for the community. And it started getting some traction. And I'm like, if 5,000 people show up,
yeah,
I'm not ready for that. Like the parking situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like now we would have made it work. I had other fields we could use, but 5,000 people walking around your property, like it would have been awesome. So we were like, okay, Old Anvil Days probably gets 10,000 people because they don't charge anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great community event and people enjoy it. But we need to put a cap on this. So then we started offering the kids stuff. We have kids. We love kids.
Yeah.
And that costs a lot of money. You start putting kids events together and start renting stuff. You're like, oh, right. Man, we're deep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we come to this crossroads where we're like, well, I had young kids. And if I'm bringing four kids, buying food, paying for stuff, you're $80-$100 into it. So we're like, why don't we just do the $5 entrance fee? That'll keep some people, that'll keep it just from the public just rushing at this time. And then it won't put the burden of on all the small families. Like if people want to come, like pay five, it's $5.
Yeah.
We ended up taking a bunch of that money and giving it to the Thon, Four Diamonds.
Yeah.
Because they had some people, a girl at our church, she's like, hey, I'd love to help. And I'm like, how about we just donate to your thing?
So she volunteered during the event and like helped park and stuff like that. Yeah.
And she just wanted to help out. And we're like, we want to give some of this money to a cause. And that just happened to be the one that came up. So that's why we charged the $5. And I think we'll continue to do it because we're doing a spring festival here. And I was just thinking about this tonight. We're going to charge the $5 entry fee, but I'm going to give $3 of each of that to some of it to the Thon. And then there's another young girl that I just did her funeral service recently. She was 13, died of cancer.
Oh, jeez.
And the family is just handling it well.
Wow.
Like, that's tough stuff.
Yeah. That's deep.
And just being able to give some of the money to them and however they want to honor their daughter, which I would assume they probably are going to do something with the Hershey Med and help families in need.
Yeah.
So I think this time I'm going to still charge the $5 and we'll just be very upfront with $3 of it is going to go to these specific charities and we'll call it out at the beginning. And if people have a problem with it, don't come.
Yeah. And see, I think that's reasonable, you know, the $5. Yeah. Because if you go anywhere else, you're looking at least $20, if not more, you know, for a carload. Yeah. Especially kids stuff. So I think the $5 was good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. You know, you had many different vendors. You had music, live music, you know, and that alone, sometimes you're paying, again,
$100.
Oh, well, easily. Yeah. Cover charges and things, you know,
but
to get in.
But it is awesome having that music playing.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. Oh, it's huge. And then you had multiple food trucks, things for the kids to do. The one thing that, again, this is me, how I prioritize things, bathroom situation with kids.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have maybe a couple more porta potties, a couple more John Johns. That's just my take. But other than
and
that.
And we will.
Yeah.
So it's the one thing we don't have is an on-site bathroom.
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that with permitting and things like that. So we're working on that. So I did all the work down there myself, the renovations. So as it was a dairy farm, I grew up there.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning.
We'll start
there. Where'd you grow up?
Give me the history
please.
The farm. It's a cool story.
Yeah. Cause I'm assuming you're not like raising foxes at Fox Ridge Farms, you know, but dairy farm. Okay.
So
yeah.
I'm realizing that at 39, still very young, but that this area has changed so much since I was a kid. And a lot of people are coming in from the cities and COVID really brought people to this area. The things that we consider normal, like mowing a yard, working with your hands all the time. You know, most people are like, we never had to do that. Like, it'd be cool to, you have chickens? Can we come pick our own eggs? No, but you can come get your own eggs. You don't, they're not flowers. You don't pick them.
Right.
They're just sitting
there.
Can
you imagine that? Yeah.
But to see the little kids and doing workshops with them. So I'm third generation. You're third generation. It's an interesting generation because people have gone before you. And put heart and soul and sacrificed a lot, whether it be obviously finances, family in some cases, their own leisure activities. And you don't really realize it until you're the one that's up to bat. And you're like, holy crap, if they were still alive, the questions I would have now. And
because they sacrifice so much. But so when you're young, growing up, you don't realize it. You don't see it.
Well, think about your grandpa. Like, you're probably, he's probably 55, 60.
Yeah.
Think of the crap you've gone through to 32. Your grandpa never tells you all that, especially that generation. Our kids are going to go online. By the time they're 32, there will be like, type in your dad's name. AI will kick out every photo.
That's scary.
Yeah. And they will have... Yeah, grandpa's full of shit.
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah. They can check you. You know what I mean? Yeah. You'd be like, oh, you're BSing me. Yeah.
Grandma dressed kind of crazy back in the day.
She let her hair down a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I never thought about that, but you're probably right.
So that's why when I was researching you, I'm like, here's a guy that when his kids look for him in 20 years, I'll be like, you ain't finding much.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And I don't know. I try to post when I think it's relevant, but I'm not a big fan of putting... You know, kids or family out there too much. But
you got to be aware of it.
Yeah, you got to be aware of it. But yeah,
people use anything against you when you put yourself out. I mean, you're doing a podcast and you own a business. Like, you know, you make any move, somebody's going to be ticked at you.
Oh, yeah, you pick any side or you say something, you slip up. And that's why, you know, I just got in the podcast because I know so many people be in the family business, sales, friends, family. You know, and just locals here in the community that I've never met before.
There's some wild people in Lebanon,
man. Some awesome people.
Super awesome stories and
doing amazing things.
Breakthroughs in crazy ways.
Exactly. You're like, and you always hear like, oh, Lebanon County, there's nothing to do here. You got to go to Lancaster.
Dude, Lebanon's getting on the map.
Yeah.
There's
some awesome
big shift happening in Lebanon County. Like you get down to Lancaster, it's like everybody's got a business. And there's also other stuff in Lancaster. But you come up to Lebanon and it's just like this shift of this influx of people coming to Lebanon are bringing with this mentality of it's kind of breaking away from the old farmer mentality that's been around this area where it's just kind of like, no, we just work very hard and we just work very, 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 very hard and we don't discuss anything. We keep to ourselves. It's like this weird division in Lebanon. You see it in the church a lot in Lebanon County. Just drive down any street. There's three churches on every block. That means there's three different ideas of how to do life and how to follow the Lord. That's not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Like, wait a minute. What happened if we all just came together and agreed on some things and just let opinions be opinions and just, hey, you have opinions about Jesus that I'm sure that I have different opinions on, but... It should be safe to talk about this stuff. It should be safe to talk about Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who cares? They aren't thinking about you.
No, they don't care. And that's it, too. That's another thing. It's a quote, and I'm going to butcher it. Something along the lines of, you know, everybody makes Taylor Swift, which if you love her music, phenomenal. You know, I put up with it. It's great, whatever.
Bro, marketing but, move of the century right there with her and Travis for sure. Kelce.
But, like, people will throw money at them or like their photos and support them, share their stuff till they're blue in the face. But then you got a local guy starting a podcast or having an event space like you guys are doing. And, you know, they don't support you, I feel like, until everybody else thinks it's cool. And then, you know, friends and family or these people that you don't know are like, oh, okay, it's cool now to support, you know, the American Girl podcast or whatever it may be. And it's like, there's people, like I was just talking about, in this community that I've met through the podcast I've never met before, like yourself, like Cleona Coffee Roasters.
Rebecca, Matt.
Matt, phenomenal guy. Great guy. Yeah. It's just like these people that I don't even know sometimes support me more than people that I thought would.
It's because they've been on the journey.
That's right. Because
they know.
Yeah.
They know what stepping out in faith and actually taking that risk looks like, and they know the cost. I actually just recently, let's get back to the farm, bro. ADHD. Follow the dopamine, baby. It's kicking in.
Okay. Yeah, I do want to get back to the cool farm.
Things, but the farm.
Yeah. Let's get back to the farm.
Grew up there. It was a dairy farm, and I would just encourage any one of your listeners with this: when there's something in your heart that you just know that it's supposed to happen, and everybody's coming against it, don't listen. Because they don't know your inner thoughts. They don't know your heart. They don't know what motivates you.
Yeah.
Your motives will always come to the surface. You see it all the time. These people, these politicians, they get caught in some junk, and it's like, well, that's because your motives are wrong. It always comes out. And the same's no different for you and me. Like, if you have a hidden motive with your business, eventually, it's going to come out.
Right. The truth will be revealed.
The truth will always be revealed.
Yeah.
If you're feeling like you're meant to do something, like, you've got to give it a shot.
Yes.
Bro, you'll regret it forever. You'll always wonder.
Yep. You'll look back when you're 80, 90 years old on your deathbed. Yep. And what if I started that podcast? Or what if I opened the farm up to people, you know, and took that risk and started that bakery?
It's your home.
It is, yeah. And it's your ideas, you know, you're putting out there. It's your face, your brand. You know, you put blood, sweat, tears. You know, there's hours where, you know, I'm editing the podcast and I'm thinking, you know, man, I hope like people get the message that I'm trying to put across, you know, and people are really enjoying it. And it seems like it's growing. I'm enjoying it.
It will
and
continue
like
to grow.
Yeah, I think it will. And I think I'm doing it for the right reasons. There's no money. I'm not getting paid, you know, and I'm not
looking. Let's go, sponsors. We need some sponsorship.
Yeah, Conor McGregor, Proper 12. You know, Proper 12. You can drop some money. But,
let's go.
Because money's a tool, right? Money's a tool to get.
And it needs to be in the hand of the people who know how to steward it.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Dude. Cheers to that, man. 100%.
There's a Bible verse about that. The Lord takes from the wicked and gives to the righteous. Why? There's a parable called the Ten Mina, where Jesus shared stories and parables because for two reasons. Number one, people that don't have spiritual minds can't understand it. It's designed to where you have to be in sync with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God to be able to even understand these things. And he talks about the Ten Mina, so everybody has been given something. You've been given a measure of something. I've been given a measure of something. Your listeners, you have something that God gave you. There's not a single person, especially in America, that can say, I have nothing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're breathing and talking and you have a mind and you haven't made some horrible choices or you've been in situations where you've just kind of been led astray, like, those people, please, like, I just always pray, can somebody get in their path to help snap them out? Because people have gotten in my path and helped snap me out of stuff. And it's like, if it wasn't for these key people along the way, there is no desire to do a community thing on a farm. Yeah. There is no desire to meet new people. You just stay depressed and angry and frustrated. And all along, I really believe God created everyone for a purpose.
Oh, 100%.
So he's given you these resources, but you don't steward it. So in the parable of the 10 mina, he'll give you 10 cities.
Okay.
He'll give you $10.
Yeah.
He'll give me $5 and he'll give whoever's sitting over here $1. And then he leaves. Go invest it. Go do business. Then he comes back later and he's checking the fruit. What did you do with it? Well, the guy that had $1 just sat on it. I just buried it so that you get your $1 back. You didn't lose anything. Played it safe. And the dude's pissed. What do you mean? You didn't do anything with it? The guy that had $5 invested it. The guy that had $10 invested it. What he does is God takes from the people that don't steward it properly and he gives it to the one that has them stewarded it properly. That's why you see these big businesses that just like keep growing and expanding. It's the parable of the 10 mina. It's the way God created it. If you're going to steward it, it's like your kid, Finn. Finn's not getting the family business if Finn don't grow up in the family business.
Exactly. He has to earn it.
You got to earn it, bro.
Yeah.
Respect. You got to know.
Respect is earned. It's not given.
And if he doesn't do it, you ain't getting it.
Right.
It'll because go, three generations have gone before you. But the good news for you is you've been taught by those generations and you're going to pass that on to your son.
Pass that knowledge on.
And if it's his heart, I mean, I should say for my kids, if it's their heart and their passion to be involved in it, I want them involved. And it's pretty cool that our kids are home. My wife is home. And we're like, dude, it's like Little House on the Prairie. It's like we're all building this business together. But like, what else do you want as a dad?
What more can you ask for?
Like,
seriously.
And that wasn't an option for us for so many years. I was gone. Like, I drove truck for 16 years.
Okay.
And you're gone all the time and just knew I wanted. Like, Lord, if there's a chance that I could be at home with my family before my kids grow up, before it's too late. Meaning, like, before it's too late for me to really invest into my family the way that I feel I should. When you're away all the time, and quite frankly, that's no different than a dad who's just at home, not present. It's no different.
Right.
We've been there. I've done that.
Yeah.
You're home. Yeah. You're just existing, you know.
Yeah, it might have been a long day at work. You blame it on that or whatever it may be. You
and
know?
I still do that. I still have my days where I'm like,
oh, everybody.
Not the most present husband.
Right.
Or father. But this guy, this lawyer from Texas came up here one time. And somehow I ended up getting dinner with this dude. It's the only I've tried to text this guy so many times.
Okay.
It's like this. You know, sometimes people come in your life and then they vanish and they had make such an impact. This guy came up here and he does a lot of stuff for Christianity in the Republican Party and conservative parties. And just we just got a chance to talk. And he said something to me that night. He said, as your kids get older, they will always come to you at the worst moment. Meaning when your kids really want to open up and have a heart to heart, it will always be when you're busy, when you're tired, or when you're just not in the mood. you're like, I had a rough day. I don't want to do it. And ever since that day, I've always been more aware of, especially with my daughters.
Yeah.
And my wife is, when they do show up in my room at 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, I just want to go to sleep. But now is the time where you want to talk. Like, come in here and lay down, honey.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Because it came to you for a reason, right? They want to open up.
That has changed everything with my daughters and my wife and my son. Just being aware of whenever they want to talk, making that time.
Just being available.
Just being present.
Yeah.
You don't need to be present 24/7. Dude, that sounds like hell. Like, what dad wants to be present 24/7? I'm available.
You're Superman if you're doing that. You know, it's impossible. Right, correct. It's impossible. Exactly. Because we're on the topic of kids growing up and everything. You really only have, what, 18 summers, 17 summers? Then, you know.
Probably
then,
more like not even if you think about probably about 7 or 8, so maybe 10. You know, till they actually are like.
Yeah,
invested with you.
Right, right. It's crazy. Bro, it's crazy.
I got two more with my daughter. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, time flies.
I could be a grandpa at 45. Think about that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So, I want to talk about. And it's a shame your wife Lindsay's not here. But shout out to her holding it down at the homestead at the farm. But like, so
at the homestead.
At the homestead. Yeah. You know. Yeah, yeah. So like, how did you two? I guess kind of first meet. Like, so okay, so you had the dairy farm. Obviously, at some point. Your parents or you or somebody decided to get out of the dairy.
My wife and I, my grandfather, when I was 16, decided to retire, and I was really getting into it. And I was working for my wife, which we weren't even dating at the time, for her aunt and uncle, who owned the Hershey Pantry, and they had a farm. And like, this guy Jim is just the coolest dude ever.
Yeah,
like when you're a teenager and you get to work with that guy, that's just like fun. Oh, yeah. Had all the toys. Was just doing, he was a man, he's a man in motion. This dude's just a guy in motion. Like, you want to be around those people. And just made a huge impact on my life. I actually knew her family before I really got to know her. So my grandfather retired, and I was really wanting to farm. Now, looking back, I'm so glad that he did. Because that's a tough life. You're working all the time.
I can imagine. And being a dairy farmer, right? You got the soy milk, all this
cows
nonsense.
Hate me. Animals hate me.
Really?
Dude, I'm allergic to horses. Like, who's allergic to horses? I just figured that out the like 2 years ago. Her parents brought their horses over to our farm for the kids to ride around, and I'm like breaking out. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Wow,
I'm freaking allergic to horses.
So stay away
How
from
stupid
horses.
Is that?
Stay away from horses.
I don't own a horse farm.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. There's a good reason for it. I'm not a fan. Just side note, I'm not a fan of horses. They kind of.
I've had one fall on me. Yeah, they hate.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah. See, no,
animals
no.
And
see,
I don't mix
big animals like that. No, I'm not. I'm a big dude, but I'm not messing with horses.
We call you Hoss.
Hoss.
You grew up watching Bonanza?
No, I've heard of it, though.
Dude.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm not that much older than you.
I know, man. My bad. I'm more, well, movie sports guy, but yeah.
Yeah. You don't remember Cowboy Saturdays? Dukes of Hazzard were on Saturdays.
Dukes of Hazzard? I know Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. No, I mean, mine was growing up, being little, I remember... the Jetsons, Flintstones, the cartoon stuff, you know, getting into that. God, man, we're covering
we're
so
all
many
over
topics.
The place. You're going to be editing this thing for a week.
Let's take a sip break.
Long story short, my grandfather retires. My wife and I were married at this point, have kids. We had a couple properties in town. My grandfather asked us if we wanted to move in there. So we rented it for 10 years. And then I just knew there's something with this farm. It's supposed to be mine. And it ended up working out where we were able to buy it. It took a couple years of negotiating when families involved in estate stuff like that. Like, you got to go through the proper channels. And it ended up working out. And then right away, we just started renovating it. So shout out to Precision Plumbing and HVAC in Anvil. That'd be Lindsay's brother. He came in and helped us. So we started gutting it and like, might as well redo the plumbing. He's like, you might as well put in HVAC and central air.
Do it right.
All
right.
You might as well put in. So
what's his name?
Jordan Johnson.
Jordan Johnson.
He would know Noah Starry.
That's a $250 ad there, you know, since Jordan just plugged
marketing.
You.
Marketing. Yeah.
No, I'm just messing. Yeah. So he knows Noah Starry.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
He does some work for him.
See, again, small, tight community, man. Yeah. It's awesome. So you did it right. You gutted it, redid everything.
Yeah. Friends and family. Yeah. And I was working third shift at the time. And then I'd work on that during the day. And shout out to Marcus Hartman. This dude just came in clutch, man.
Okay.
Him and Marcus I just Hartman. Would charge on that thing every weekend and redo the whole house. So for 11 months, we took all the kids and we lived in a room that's about the size of this.
Really?
Converted an old one storage garage
yeah.
into a studio, which I'll use for our podcast, but that was home.
Okay. Wow. So that was home. for months.
That's what people are like, oh, I'd love to have this. Would you be willing to sleep in a shed for 11 months?
What are you
going to
sacrifice? Seriously. Wow. Over the summer, too, probably. So it probably got a little hot. Do you have an AC?
A lot of AC in there.
Okay, okay.
It was in the winter when it sucked. Oof. When you got to go to the bathroom, you got to walk through the snow. Like, old school. But it was so cool to, like, those are kind of memories that you build. If you're building something, your kids get
invested,
caught up in it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're on a journey. Like, if you have kids, I'm telling you, they want to be on a journey with you. Like, as parents, you have to step out and take those leaps of faith. Your kids are watching.
All the time.
And with the way the AI is going and stuff, like, these kids are going to have to get creative. You have to get an entrepreneurial mindset. I don't care what it looks like. Start an online thing. I'm launching some ebooks here soon and some online courses. Dude, there's people in California that want to know what you know, and they're willing to pay you $50 for a book to do
it. It's knowledge. Yeah. You know things that other people don't.
Like,
why not make a little money?
But you think that other people know it.
Yeah. Well, you assume, right? You assume everybody knows it.
Because to you, it's simple.
It's like common sense to you. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But to some other guy, he's like, dude, I don't want to do landscaping on my house.
Right.
I'm making, just, can someone do it for me? You know, there's so many, even like with what you do, an ebook, a podcasting ebook. Here's how you create a podcast.
Right.
It's $29.99. You got people in Vietnam watching this. Next thing you know, you're getting money. You don't even know what it is
coming in. All over the world. Germany, you know, I think even South America, Alaska. There's people in Alaska, you know, it's like crazy.
Well, they got nothing else to do up there.
Yeah, what are they doing? Alaskan crab fishing and stuff, you know?
8 months of darkness.
8 months of darkness. Oh, my gosh. So we talked about the farm.
You got to keep me on track.
No, we're good. We're good. So you're doing your renovations.
Mm-hmm.
Why then did you decide to open up the farm to the public? Like, what was the deciding factor?
You know, it's funny how there's a Bible verse where it talks about delight in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. And most people think the desire of their heart is, I want a bigger home. I want a nicer car. I want a trophy wife. Like, that's the desires that they think. That's not the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart are peace, joy, happiness. I want to have a healthy marriage. I want to have you want a healthy home, but you're saying that you want a big home. No, what you really want is a healthy home where your kids are safe. It's an environment where it's safe for them to be vulnerable and talk with you, and you can help them do life. That's what you really want. And God knows that. You go through this process of getting the things that you think you want, and then you realize it wasn't the thing that you wanted.
Yeah.
You're like, no, what I really want is I want my daughters to look at me like my wife looks at me. I want my son to look at women the way that I look at his mom. Like, out of just love. I don't want him looking at women out. I mean, dude, every guy on the planet struggles with porn. Nobody's special in that. Like, I love, especially in ministry, you get a lot of guys that are, you know, they're always like, oh, I'm really struggling with something. I'm like, well, it's only two or three things. Like, is it porn? Well, yeah. That's because we're guys and we see women and we're like, hello, love it.
It's wired.
We're wired that way.
We are.
But you got to make sure that you're not letting that affect your marriage. So you've got to fight that battle if you want a healthy marriage. Because it will come up. It'll come up. I struggled with porn for 22 years. I hear people that have alcohol addictions and drug addictions. Bro, I'm telling you, like, it's like you want to compare, like, what's worse. It's all the same thing in your brain. You're addicted to something.
It's an addiction. Oh, just like food, sugar.
Food?
Smoke.
Bro, sugar? Yeah. Give me a box of Skittles and I'm rolling out of this building. I love Skittles.
That's exactly right. I mean, we go on. Oh, my God. Yeah. Or like just even binging.
You got any candy in here?
Binging. No, actually, I don't. That's pretty bad. Upstairs we do. Yeah. See, we look around. I'm like,
we're going to take a minute break for our first sponsor.
We'll be right back.
Whoever that would
be. Hershey. Come on, Hershey. Let's go. But yeah, I mean, even binging Netflix shows and, you know, just the time that you can waste instead of creating something. And I'll find myself too. Sometimes I'll get on TikTok, Instagram, and I'll just go down the rabbit hole scrolling, you know, because it shows you things you like.
Yeah.
The algorithms, you know, it's wired that way. And then I'll be like, why am I wasting this time?
I should be creating something.
Exactly. Creating something.
Bro, some dude just made $8 off of me. Like, just start putting content out. Like, people don't think their life is that interesting until you realize, like, no, your life really is interesting. I mean, you see it on a podcast.
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
You're like, bro, Do you even share your story with anybody? That's wild.
It is. It's wild. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys just shared a reel, I think, on Instagram or Facebook.
I'm going down the content road. I'm being forced into it. It's a struggle, dude.
So is Lindsay Moore into the content or you?
No, that's me.
That's you? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm getting a team together to do it.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, dude, putting content out there.
You just put something out because you guys were remodeling or something. Literally, just like
the
this
barn
week.
Floor.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is awesome.
That was such a fun project.
I loved watching it.
Yeah, I had a couple buddies, Evan Hoover and Johnny Clore. Young kids, just, dude, you get the right team around you. Yeah. Anything's fun.
Anything's possible.
Those guys were so much fun. Yeah. So the song that was playing, I forget the name of the song, but... we were listening to it in the while we were working out there, and you get the right music playing while you're doing the right job.
Yeah,
you have a lot of fun.
You get going. So you wanted to open it up
to the community. How that kind of came about was we've always talked about our dreams and our visions. We've always been very vocal about what we want to do and what we see it. And it's one thing to talk about it, and everybody's like, oh yeah, and then you start doing it, you don't realize the impact that you have on other, because everybody's always watching.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee you right now there's people listening to this because it's going to go on social media, and they're going to listen because they want to snoop.
Yeah.
Or they want to judge. They're curious. Or they're happy for you.
Or they're hating.
You never know. And it's okay. Because if at the end of the day you get encouraged to go take a leap of faith, I've noticed that when you step out in your podcast, there's people that you know that are watching to see, like, is this going to be successful? And like you said earlier, once it's successful, which it already is.
Yeah.
Dude, you got, I'm not going to share how many followers you said because it's probably not public knowledge, but
I appreciate
that's a lot of people.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
That's a lot of people.
For only 72 episodes?
Outside of sporting events, you cannot get that many people together.
Right.
To listen 100%. To, you couldn't.
To listen to guests talk. And that's why I feel like it's successful, because it's not me, right? It's the guest. People listen and tune in because of you, because of the guest. You had mentioned Heather Herman. Phenomenal woman. Phenomenal lady. She's doing
beautiful
great.
Beautiful story.
House of Hair. Beautiful story. First time meeting her, you know, sitting right across me like you are. I mean, we had a box of tissues. I know she was crying. I was pretty much, I'm going to admit it, I was crying.
Yeah.
You know, there was just things we were talking about, how kids don't hear, you know, that they don't hear the word, I love you, enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this is cheesy, but my daughter was into Elmo at the time, and she still is, and Elmo always says, Elmo loves you. And I know it's cheesy, and I'm getting a little choked up now, but it's like, if you're going to have a kid, I can go, if you're going to have a kid, like... Dude, you got to love them. You know what I mean? Because like you said, they're always watching you. They're learning from you. Yeah. So why not tell them? I tell my kids every day, I love you. I tell my wife every day, I love you.
You matter.
You know? Yeah, you matter. Exactly. Because you never know. Life's precious, like we said earlier, you know? And just waking up in the morning is like, you should be thankful. And you never know when you're going to get called. You know? That's why I look at it. That's why I looked at, not COVID, but just sicknesses in general. Like,
it can be anything.
When it's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
And we live each day like... today doesn't really matter. I struggle with that. I struggle with passivity. You know, that's something every guy struggles with. That's inherited from Adam in the Garden of Eden. Like, this dude just stood there and was like, yeah, eat that. No, bro, smack that thing up. You're more guilty than Eve.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to blame Eve for sin. No, you're the man. You were given authority. Take ownership over your home. Like, these guys that are listening to this, like, your wife is waiting for you to take authority in the marriage and in the home. That's what she wants. My wife led our home for 16 years because I just wasn't there. And when I was there, I was just, my wife, I'd put her through hell, dude.
She's a saint.
She's a saint. She really is. And she has a good line of mother and grandmother, like that heart. She just has that heart for people, an empathetic heart, compassion. And a guy like me who didn't deal with my own heart issues, even though I grew up in an amazing home, I grew up in an awesome home. Like, it's one of those stories where people just want to punch you. Like, oh, you had it that easy.
Okay.
And you still couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what's your problem, dude?
I got
like,
you.
Is there something off with you? Yeah, there was something. It was my heart. There was something off with my heart. And lo and behold, God brings this man into my life who just wouldn't take my BS anymore. And he's like, dude, you know, you can change. Like, there is a purpose for your life. And this guy just sewed into me for 5 years and just kept pointing me to the restoration of Jesus and the Bible and just like, hey, it's okay to be, I get it, bro. You're dealing with porn. Oh, you got a weed problem? Cool. It's okay. You have to have something to overcome. What kind of a boring podcast guest would it be if they were like, You know,
life's so good.
I was born and I never had any challenges, and yeah. I'm a millionaire. Yeah. Oh, my wife's great, and oh yeah, she's 6 foot, blonde, blue eyes. My kids are perfect. Oh, my Ferrari's out front.
Beach house in Italy.
It's you had no problems. Yeah, you're boring and you're full of crap.
Yeah.
Like
people, I mean, let's be real. We're all humans, right? We make mistakes. Yeah. Things happen. No one's perfect, you know. No
people don't understand the value of repentance. That's why. That's what the Bible is. The whole point of it is repentance. There's so much freedom in just forgiving yourself. Like, Jordan, I'm sorry that I spent 16 years kind of neglecting my wife and kids. I say kind of because it really is kind of. I wasn't this horrible, like, beat the crap out of my wife and I hope not. But no.
I don't see you being like that either.
You know, if you met my wife.
I know. I wish Lindsay was here because the whole setup ready for her.
She grew up with four brothers.
We're going to have to run this back in. She grew up with four brothers. Yeah. Oh, we got to get her story then at some point too. But
she's got a cool one.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. Four brothers. I mean, yeah, you got to be tough.
Yeah, she's tough and compassionate and just a good mom. She gave me space. The cool thing about like your wife is your wife. Our wives know so much more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
They're just wired to know when something's up. And they're wired to know that they're not supposed to be in charge of the family. So my wife is basically running the home for over a decade. And I'm just like, cool, this is easy. I just go to work. Money goes in. I get to be the fun one. She takes care of all the stuff. Yeah, that's not how we're designed. We're supposed to be leading our families. Your daughter is looking... As soon as she hits 3, 4, 5, like she's going to be watching, like, how's dad interact with mom? How does he treat women? Because that's what she's going to be looking for. You got to set that bar so high for your daughter so that all these idiots that come rolling in at 14 with their pants down around their ankles acting like idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they're like, that's not the one.
Yeah.
You know,
but so they know. So they make that decision. So it's not like dad's telling them. They make that decision because they've seen, like you said, you set that bar so high as the father. I get that.
We set our kids. I set my daughters up so much for, I'm already planting seeds. Like, hey, if your sisters, your mom, me, your brother, if we're not all clicking with your boyfriend, it should be a heads up for you.
It's a red
flag. I'm like planting those seeds right now. And I don't want to create rebellious children, but like at the same time, like we want to make sure
you want what's best for
them. There's people sewing into me. Like my wife and I are an anomaly in that. Like we've only been with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that was weird to say. Now I'm like, that's kind of rare.
Oh, very.
Like that's rare. We've only been with each other our whole entire life, like intimately and as a couple.
Since 16.
Bro, like we're like almost Amish, dude. We're weird. We're weird.
All right, maybe don't go too deep into that. Deep. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. Yeah.
But I never realized how important that was if you have the option to do that, like, go for it. I mean, any guy that does anything in excess knows. Too much.
Too much.
You need to turn it back a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I've gone too far. What are we talking about?
Let's take a sip break. Take a sip break.
All right.
Yeah, so we're just talking about how, you know, you open up the farm to the public.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name Foxcrest Farms? Was it always Foxcrest Farms?
No.
And then real quick, you also have Foxcrest Farm, Wild and Free, John 8:32.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Man, you give room for Jesus in your life. Crazy stuff just starts happening. And I'm serious. Like, doors start opening. We've always had a heart for the community, and we've always had like events at the farm where we would just pay for these events. And eventually you're like, this is costing me a lot of money.
And you got 300 family,
people
right.
over for an event. And I'm like, I'm $4,000 into this. It was fun because we love people. But at the same time, you're like, how many of these am I going to do? And eventually it clicks. You're like, oh, people really are looking for something. You go to Lancaster, there's all kinds of stuff down there, but Anvil, Lebanon County doesn't really have this community place. I shouldn't say it like that because there are places available. I guess like a farm that is a community environment where people can come. There's gardens, there's walking paths, there's workshops. It's a big thing in other states and in Southern York, Lancaster County. So it just started working on us a little bit. So the Fall Fest was really our first big trial run. We're like, is this even something we would like to continue to do? And it was so wildly crazy putting that thing together. Like, it almost didn't happen. We almost shut it down the week before. Yeah.
The week before. I'm glad you guys didn't, because there isn't much to do. Like, in that aspect, there isn't much to do, you know, on a farm here in Lebanon County. There's farms everywhere, but
I mean, you want to go milk cows, and I'm sure any farmer in Lebanon County is like, come on over.
Right, right. Yeah, I'll take the free labor. I'll take the free labor. But no, I mean, like, what you guys are doing, because, yeah, I can think of Lancaster, you know, I feel like two or three places easily come to mind, but, like, not here in Lebanon County. And your farm is located on Royal Road.
Royal Road off of Royal 934. Road,
right near the Country Club where the beautiful people are at,
yep.
if you're a member there.
Yep.
But that Fall Fest, almost a week before, you almost canceled.
Yeah.
Just because of conflict, or was it too much? You got in too deep, or I'm glad you
didn't. We learned some lessons. Anytime that you're making a run for something, there's always going to be key decisions that have to be made. And sometimes you make decisions and people don't like it. Other times people do like it, and you just have to be okay with that. But I knew it needed to make money. If I just broke even, I'm like, it's okay. I mean, you start marketing. You start prepping for things. You've got to get insurance. Like, there's just so much stuff that goes into something like this. So we just need to make sure, like, hey, is this something that the community would even want?
Yeah.
And you just start hearing stories of people like vegetable gardens. People want to start making their own food, back to what we were talking about before, about the stuff that's in food and in kids' food. Like, people are like, yeah, it's messing me up. But they don't know how to grow their own food. Mm-hmm. To me, growing up on a farm, my grandma just went out to the garden and made food. They didn't go to the store.
Tomatoes, all that best cucumber.
Butter on everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But you were corn fed, and you were out working, so you kept the weight off.
Right.
So you're not working, you're like, that's not sustainable.
Yeah. But you're right. You're right. People now, it's like my grandmother, like you said, she had a garden in the back, you know, and she'd always go out and tomatoes.
Jarring.
And all this. Jarring. Yeah. Oh my God. All that stuff. Jams, you know, strawberry jams, all this. And now it's like almost crazy to say, but it's like a lost art, I feel like.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
there's such a market there right now. In comes Foxcrest Farm. So one of the goals is a lot of workshops. How can we equip people to not be self-sufficient, but be a little bit more self-sufficient? The government doesn't have to take care of you for everything. It's okay to go on government resources. It's there. It's okay. But some of the people, like, you can take care of yourself. And if you have a desire to do that, how can we help you be in a position to do that? So host a workshop. Maybe it's a canning workshop. Like, I would love, like, Lindsay's grandma, like the older generation that they just canned all the time. Like, get some awesome grandma in there. Like, we're gonna do a canning workshop because I would imagine you could pull together 10 women and their daughter and just be like, we want to go learn about this. So our heart is to give back to the community in that way. We're setting up these workshops. People can come out and cut fresh cut flowers. Bro, I can't believe if my grandpa was alive and heard I was a flower farmer, I wonder what he would say.
I'm
like, Lord, a flower farmer? Like, there's zero, like, manliness attached to that. But it's what we're doing. And there's a market for it. And today I just had a really cool meeting with a buddy of mine about doing some ebooks and stuff like that. Like, people want to know, man.
They want that knowledge.
You can monetize it.
Oh, for sure.
I don't need
to
make money off of the community here. There's people all over the world that are like, I would love to start a vegetable garden.
Yeah, how do you do
it? They don't even know step one.
Yeah, well, exactly. Where do you start?
What's the soil? Pick any topic. I'm telling that to the people listening. Pick any topic. Believe me, you have value and you offer value to somebody on this planet. Just take a little step of faith and just be like, how can I use this, because I'm passionate about it, to impact other people's lives for the better? And your impact might just be they're watching you and they're hearing your story.
Yeah.
And now they decide to go take that little leap of faith and start a podcast. Maybe it's a kid starting a lemonade stand, selling eggs. Who cares?
Yeah.
You matter and your story matters and people are watching you.
And then that turns
quit acting like an idiot and get out there and get after
do
it.
Just do it.
Let's go.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and you never know. A young child starts out in a lemonade stand or selling eggs or baked goods, and then all of a sudden they have a bakery or they make the next, Coca-Cola, next sports drink. You never know.
You never know.
The future is yours to create, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gosh, man, we go so deep, but there's a path. I feel like everyone's on a three-part
podcast.
You know what? I have one other two-part. This might be the second one. We got potential here, Jordan. We really do. But I feel like, you know, everyone has a path, right?
Yeah.
And things are set up, but we make the choices, right? We make the choices. And at the end of the day, like I mentioned earlier, you know, when you get called, it's your time. No matter what, you know, you can put all these things in your body, make you look younger and live longer. But like at the end of the day, when it's your time, so like, why not take a risk, take a leap of faith, try something, you know, I don't know. Maybe you want to get into bird watching, just something random, or maybe you want
to get money into money in
that. Yeah. Maybe you want to get into photography or start an apparel, a clothing brand. Like, why not try to do it?
People are afraid of it's fear.
Fear of
they're afraid of two things. They're afraid of what people will think.
Yep, being judged. That's what
I'm saying. Big time afraid of that for many, many years. And they're afraid of taking the risk because they don't think it'll pay off. But the problem is you never took the risk. There's no reward for doing nothing.
Exactly.
And they think, well, I'm going to start an apparel company. What's the... Google says that it's a 90% failure rate. Okay, that's probably true. But what if you learn some really cool skills and you meet some really cool connections? The Lord brings this man into my life. He's a businessman. He's focused on getting your heart right and getting you prepared to go out and launch into the marketplace. I think people don't realize that there's people in their life that actually want to help them.
Yeah.
There's business guys out there that if you want to start an apparel company, most business guys that I've been around, they're looking to mentor somebody. Like your podcast, you're looking, like you said earlier, like, dude, how can I help? Like, there's people that are looking to sow into you, but we get so self-conscious of putting ourselves out there. Like, just ask the guy to go for lunch. I met a guy at a men's retreat, super successful. This guy had like a $500 million company. Christian guy, like kingdom guy, just really came from a rough background and pulled his life together and then just started like focusing on living for the Lord. His businesses are focused on that. And I reached out to him recently and I couldn't get through to him. So I'm like, you know what? This guy probably has everybody on the planet trying to get out in touch with him. Like, you're super successful in the world's view. I kind of know him on a little bit of a personal level. So I know it's like his home is good. His marriage is good. I'm like, I'm just going to send this guy a book. Just go on Amazon. You can figure out how to get someone's address. That's 2024, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Do some research.
Except for you. You're kind of like hidden on the internet.
I'm not going to put it out on the podcast, but
yeah.
I can tell you later.
I can figure it out pretty quickly. Yeah, I was in sales, remember?
We're not that far from it right now. Yeah.
But like, if there's somebody that you're looking to that you admire, like, get yourself in front of that guy, that woman. Like, I'm telling you, they are looking to sow into somebody else. Leaders want to lead. Leaders want to look behind them and see, like, is anybody following me?
Because
if they're not, you're not leading. There's something off with you, and you need to make some adjustments. But eventually you look back and you're like, huh, there's some people that I'm actually making an impact. If the wake of people in your life is destruction, it's you.
Yeah, you got the problem.
It's you.
Yeah.
If the wake of people in your path is people that are growing and getting better, check yourself more because pride's coming in.
There you go. It's funny.
You're never off the hook as a leader.
No. You're the one holding the bag at the end of the day. Yep. Noah Starry and Ethan Daubert, two people are on a podcast and they both said the same thing. Like, if you want to get into real estate or you want to achieve something, find yourself a mentor, you know, and learn from them. And it's also interesting too. You mentioned how I have the podcast going and I feel like sometimes as creatives, maybe you feel this way, you and Lindsay, when you launch something, and it starts to get successful, it starts to grow, the numbers are coming in, people are listening.
Then the work begins.
Well, the work begins, but sometimes, at least for myself, and other people on the podcast have mentioned this, you almost feel like you're not there. Like, you know what I mean? You feel like, okay, even though it's, I could show you the numbers, everything's there, you almost feel like I'm there's more to come. And the
it
coolest-
It just keeps the hope alive.
It does. It keeps you going. It keeps you coming back for more. And the coolest thing is, later this month, actually, Lebanon High School, right up the road. I'm on a board there with Noah Starry. It's local businesses in the community going for, it's like a 3-year commitment. I think it's like 4 times a year. So it's not a crazy commitment, but you go for like 2 hours and you talk about, you know, what's a community looking for, business community looking for from the students? You know, what are we looking, who are we looking to hire? You know, what are we looking to hire? What are we looking for in people? But through that, there was a teacher there, Zachary, I forget his last name. And he's like, hey, I see you have this podcast. Do you want to come in and talk to like 30 some students about your podcast?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, Zach, I'd love to, you know, do you think they're interested? And he's like, well, yeah, they have a podcast called Lebanon Legends and it's all alumni athletes that they feature like once a month.
That's cool.
It is cool. And I'm like, but here's a chance for me to, you know, impact.
Give back.
And give back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm excited for it.
When's
that? They just sent dates. I think the 19th or like the 27th or 29th.
God will honor that.
Yeah.
Most people get successful and then their head gets big and they're like, well, you should just go, you should just go do the work because it was hard for me. It should be hard for you. Somebody who really worked for something, Lindsay and I are learning this, like building a business from nothing. I'm like, can we just go buy something? There's businesses for sale everywhere.
Yeah.
Building it from scratch, you have to have people around you that have gone before you. You have to have people that have built something from scratch because they will save you so much time. But yeah. eventually, you're going to have to cowboy up and get out there and do it yourself and go learn and start putting this stuff to the test.
Right.
Because people just get sick of hearing you talking about it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
You got to go do it.
Shut up and do it. Let's go.
But that's when you get, if you're comfortable, like you're not growing.
Oh, I say if this all the time. If you're comfortable,
you're not growing. You're done.
Yeah.
Have fun being miserable, bro. That's the most frustrating spot for a, I could speak from a man's perspective. I don't know. Women are wired a little bit differently because they get security from a man. That's women need security and a man needs to go provide for his family. And I just recently this year, the Lord was just like, I was just praying and I spent a lot of time in prayer, spent a lot of time reading the Bible. I spent a lot of time just self-awareness, being very self-aware, like, and I just was getting very comfortable. And I've taken a few leaps of faith in my life and risked a lot. And I know when I'm comfortable and I'm being called to be uncomfortable, that means like, you're going to be stretched. You're going to be challenged, but you will never find out who you really are until you step out. And I don't care to you, what stepping out to you might, to me might be like, bro, that's not a big,
it's nothing to you. Right. Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the case. I don't know enough, but you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Where I may be stepping out of something, you're like, dude, like that's not a big leap. You need to do that because I'm telling you it's going to work.
It's going to work 100%.
So right now, where are we being called to step out in faith a little bit more and take a little bit more of a risk? Because there's somebody that went before us.
Yeah.
If you're paying attention, they're in your life. That's like, dude, you're good. Go do that. And we're sitting here on our hands for 6 months. And meanwhile, these guys and gals that have gone before and they're like, yeah, I know where you're at in your journey. Just do it.
That's it.
Like,
yeah.
There's listeners. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you can only watch so many YouTube videos.
Bro.
And yeah, and exactly. And like you said, if you're always scared about people judging you, you're never going to get anything done. And I've said on the podcast before, it's being comfortable when you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's where you need to get out of your comfort zone and get uncomfortable. And that's how you grow.
Yeah.
Just the other day, it was Kylie. I told her because we were talking and she was saying how she was shy. 17 years old. She came on the podcast. Her dad drove her all the way from Scranton. She has her own podcast. She's interviewed 268 people. Dang. And here I'm at 72. It's called the Talk of Fame podcast. Shout out to Kylie. And I said, and she was opening up about being nervous and all this. And I said, when I was a kid, I think up to like 12 years old, I couldn't look at a waiter in the eyes and order my food. I would, you know, have to have my dad or my mom. It's just little things like that. Like you said, to you, it might not be a big deal, but to me, I was like, I can't talk to people. Yeah, I'm uncomfortable. And now
I can't talk to people. Here you are.
Right. Bro, like, That's what I'm saying. Now I'm doing sales and I have this podcast, you know, interviewed 72 people and I plan to keep it, you know, I want to hit 500. I want to keep it going. So yeah, let's pick back up. My gosh.
I did want to say this. You said about kids and like, what do you think legacy is?
Stay tuned for part two next week. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.